From the ghetto youth camp. Anywhere me go, me say me must left me stamp. Marijuana where me smoke them sick.
Don't let them out, boy.
Just he says that some
pop yeah, I don't remember.
Remember that you two want me ancient name that. Bounce to listen to the gang, mashing up the traffic jam. Police pull me over, talking about it smell grand. From me looking at him face, and all this boy had a plan. Juju not for from the shoulder, said the boy a demon. First thing he want to know is where that smell coming from. Are you smoking marijuana? And I said, yes, I am. Show him see some men trends, go to cost a couple grand. Him say, make me see the license and the registration. And where are you headed? What's your occupation? Don't know, struggle, I'm up in other answer questions. As it says on the paper, read the information. For me now, I take no street sign interrogation. Support me if you book me, carry me down on station. Let me show them how we did it in a style and pattern. Pam, 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 pam,
pam, pam, pam, pam, pam, pam, pam, pam, pam, pam, pam, pam, pam, pam, pam, pam, pam. I wasn't going to say it this week.
I know. I knew that you were going to avoid saying it.
I was going to stop. I was going to stop the madness at this point. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us today. We got an awesome guest with us.
I'm excited.
It's the first guest we've had with a title.
That is true.
I mean, Jack was almost poet laureate
yeah.
at Fort
yeah.
Collins, and we probably would have addressed him with some type of title and formality.
Right.
But he didn't win, so.
He didn't win. And you're required on Ghost Pee to make your own costume that you bring in. I'm not sure if a lot of our listeners at home see all of the costumes that
right.
everybody wears. But some of them are just a laugh riot. But you got to make your own. And we all knew that Jack Martin wasn't going to make his own costume.
Sure, yeah. So we have a captain with us today.
A captain.
The captain. My captain? I don't know. I like to mess it up on stage sometimes because I've been doing comedy for 4 months, and I think it took him 3.5 to figure out what my name was.
Well, you do have a difficult name.
Yeah.
Which would be a great time to introduce you. This is the host of Ghost Pee, Weston Unruh.
The co-host.
No, you're the host. It's your part. Well, How many times do you have to go over that?
Until you say it correctly.
The co-host.
The other co-host. Nick Holland. We can edit any of this out at any point.
Yeah, but we won't.
But we won't. Not again.
Had a rough week last week.
You did?
No, I mean, Ghost Pee did.
Oh, Ghost Pee.
But thank you for still listening. I think, like, this one's the test. If you're still out there.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
Oh, they're out there. They're out there. So you had a big week, though. You were you started all your play
mm-hmm.
practices.
Yep.
It's tough to say.
There are tougher things to say that you'll encounter, like in any given script on stage. But yeah, play practice with Judd Farner Monday through Friday from 7 p.m.
every
to
night?
10 p.m. every single night.
So you've retired from comedy for a little while.
I've taken a brief comedy hiatus, but I'm still here.
Yeah, except for the podcast.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the show's, you'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll scream, you'll call the police.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good show. It opens at the end of May.
They're probably listening in live, and they're like, all right, the show started, let's move in. It's time to shut
this.
This is all because of your burn a post office down comment.
Well, you keep bringing it up. I mean, I made a mistake. The guy I'm in the play with, the one other actor in the play, is a postman, and he's a great guy. You know, I think I just watched too much Seinfeld as a kid.
Is that what it is?
And it became... I mean, that show really tainted people to...
For mailmen?
Yeah.
Yeah. For 9 seasons, it's just pure hatred towards this one mailman.
And that's a tough thing to get over.
Yeah. So what do we want to talk about today, before we bring our guest on?
I want to talk about this great idea for a movie where, like, little goblins come into people's lives and they capture them and they break them like wild horses.
Okay.
So it's like, imagine yourself as a human being, but then imagine some other creature that views you as a wild horse. And so your day-to-day routine is suddenly interrupted by, like, a tiny little goblin, gremlin creature who climbs up on you and rides you around.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where does this come from, this idea?
I think it... Well, I was going to... I thought you meant where the goblin came from, and I thought it came probably through a portal or something.
Oh, okay.
Or out of another
dimension. That's what you would think, though. Because we were talking about wild horses being broke. Like, imagine the first people who went and broke... And this giant creature all of a sudden has this, like, pert thing, a fourth the size of them.
Right, yeah. A wild horse must be so confused by the initial, they're running through fields, doing their own thing, probably having a great time.
Yeah.
You know?
Just eating grass. And some
shrimpy little creature that's much slower than you tricks and captures you.
Yeah.
And then puts you in prison and then gets up on you and rides you around for a while. And it's like that applied to humanity. It'd be a good movie.
It would be really weird, yeah. If all of a sudden this creature just hopped onto our shoulders and their legs were just kind of hanging down.
Well, it had to climb up, and like we had to wear stirrups and stuff. And
they'd figured out how to tame us.
And what would you do with footwear? At that point, if you were just a walking creature.
Yeah, then they would say, we're tired of buying you new shoes all the time. We're just going to staple some metal ones onto the bottom of your feet.
That would hurt, but you just put up with it.
Yeah, just like, oh, I guess I have to wear these now.
You know? And then you'd have to live outside, right?
Yeah, they'd be like, I'm done with you for the day, so just go stand in that field until I need you.
Go walk over there. There's a little shed. You can sleep in the shed. And you'd be like, but it's going to get cold.
Yeah. And they're like, it's tough, man.
It's pretty cold when that wind blows in.
Yeah. But like I said, I'll check in with you. I don't know.
I'm probably going to need to do a hike with you tomorrow.
Yeah. So just be ready.
So
get a good night's rest down here in the freezing cold and be ready to go in the morning.
And so Ghostbeast just copywriting that movie
idea. That's going to be our movie idea.
That's our other movie idea. Because we do have the trash monster in the Pacific Ocean that gets sent to us.
Right.
So, and possibly that could all be in the same movie.
Oh. Or a miniseries?
Ghost Pee the movie. Or a miniseries. Yeah. Oh, my God. Or, like, Alfred Hitchcock Presents or Twilight Zone kind of, like, serial set.
Ghost Pee Presents. And they're just these bizarre...
really uncomfortable happenings.
Well, either way, it is copyrighted, so...
We got it.
Yeah, don't try to
any
steal
any novelizations, comic books, t-shirts.
And we've been kind of on a roll lately with ideas.
We have another
little thing in the mix, we think, in the works.
Are you talking WBC?
Yeah, we're talking about our guests that are coming to town.
We're already going
to
hype that.
Well, I'm just going to say that there may be something interesting in the works.
WBC, FOCO, Ghost P, 2014. No, that's a lot to copyright, but if you put that entire phrase and you underline it, and it's like italicized and underlined, copyright. You know, we've got some great signs. Can I just drop, like, my best sign?
Oh, talking about, yeah, your sign. They can look for it in a video.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be Dogs Hate Bats. It's going to be the sign that I'm going
to
bring to
the
Westboro
Baptist.
So feel
free to hashtag that.
Yeah.
Hashtag dogs hate baths.
Hashtag dogs hate baths.
Hashtag
ghost pee. Let's get that viral. Hashtag ghost pee. Hashtag ghost PP. again, a shout out to Podomatic for hosting ghost PP. You got to spell it out. Again, you could probably just look at whatever bar you're reading or anything.
Actually, if you Google ghost pee podcast, it'll be like the ninth thing down.
Wow.
So.
You know what the other things down are and the wormhole you'll fall into on the internet is people worried about ghosts pissing in their houses.
I think somebody actually has a Twitter handle called Ghost Pee.
Yeah, but they don't tweet much. No. So We kind of swept it out from underneath.
Yeah, we'll take it as a hashtag.
Or we'll switch it to Ghost PP if we need be. If need be,
the PP will be switched to.
Yeah.
We have another. We thought of another phrase this week.
Oh yeah, because
we were talking about like just get how we have to get amped up for this podcast. You got to kind of get in the zone.
Well, and it was also because our best listening day was on Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, the hump day. Is that where it came from?
The hump day.
Humping the pee-pee.
Humping the pee-pee. You can hashtag that, too.
Only on Wednesdays.
At Kick Holland, at Weston Unruh, on the social media things. Yeah. Just get at us.
Absolutely.
Hashtag, again,
I think
humping the pee-pee. Hashtag, oh shit, the other hashtag was really long, but it was about the Westboro Baptist Church. You could just tag them, too.
Dogs hate baths.
And dogs hate baths. All right.
So, I think we've plugged everything.
It's a good little plug fest.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. So, what's up this next week? More play practice?
More...
Every night. And tell them about your Thursday, Friday night rehearsals.
Thursday, Friday night rehearsals, there's another play going on in the front of the building that we're rehearsing in. And so we have something called quiet rehearsal, which is exactly what it sounds like. And is actually really difficult to do. As you're blocking and moving staging,
and you're trying to whisper.
But you're just whispering, and it's extra difficult because I'm supposed to develop two different British voices, and now I have to whisper. So I mean, theoretically, if I get it down and can come up with a first British whisper voice, and then a second British whisper voice,
it's softer,
that is different.
I see what you did there.
Then hopefully, when we're allowed to speak. Maybe those would be semi-competent accents.
Right.
But the whispering just feels ridiculous. And the mailman that I'm acting with, because I am friends to mailmen, okay?
Friend of mailman.
Friend of mailman. Hashtag friend of mailman.
We have incoming news.
Oh.
We have to lock the doors.
He just swoops into your house now?
I guess. Erdmania is on its way.
All right.
Supposedly. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Okay.
Let's see. So I think, how many people are in a scene where you're all just whispering to each other?
Well, it's me and one other guy.
So it's just two people and you're just whispering.
But a lot of times,
back and forth.
He's whispering narration to things that I'm doing.
Okay.
And then I whisper a line and then he starts whispering narration again. It's a really bizarre plot.
They
but
should film the whisper.
It's extra bizarre when you whisper it. Yeah. I'll bring that up with Jeff.
For the outtakes. Because will they film the actual performance when you do it?
They might. Yeah. I don't know.
And then so that could be on the outtakes. The whispering.
Film whisper sessions and just do it to hype the play and release it.
Or what if we do, when Judd comes on
the
podcast, we just do it all whispering. We whisper the entire podcast. And we just tell him, no, it's always like this. You know,
dude, the science of podcasting. Yeah.
No, it sounds normal with the effects we use, but we just have to whisper because the microphone's so strong.
Yeah.
That's what, and we'll convince him to just whisper the entire time. So, the green room's empty today. We should note roommate Will and my wife are out.
Yeah, he always needs rides.
Yeah, he wasn't feeling the podcast today, I guess.
Well, you know, it's better him leaving than just standing around being passive aggressive.
Yeah, so it might feel a little quiet today.
Okay.
Because Will isn't making his usual noises.
Psycho babble.
Yeah. We also have a basketball game going on today. We're watching the Indiana Pacers poop themselves in their own bed as the one seed, just getting freaking dominated by the eight seed. Falling apart. It's hard to watch.
You know, I was most fascinated by what you're talking about, all the team tensions. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that there's like...
Well, because you're big into the WWF
like
stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. So,
yeah. So
you like a good...
I was like, oh, a storyline. Here's my stories. You know, because I am a huge fan of professional wrestling, both because those guys... And, yeah, it is not a competitive athletic field, but they are all the most incredible performers.
Yeah,
there
absolutely.
Is around, and they have such an insane schedule. But then the little melodramas they play out,
right.
And the characters and everything, ugh. No, those are my stories.
Yeah, and the NBA definitely, I feel like, has a lot of similarities to professional wrestling.
Oh, you're just always telling me about the drama that's going on?
Yeah, and the announcer, you know, the announcers sometimes are a bit over the top, you know.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and it's like with the announcers, they totally are like, at this point, an element of
right,
the sport.
Right.
Just going to a live game of any sport or event is a lot of fun, but it's like,
You almost need the commercial break so you can get up, get a drink, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the game, a timeout, you just have to sit there and, you know, pretend to be interested
right,
in,
like, and then, like, you shuffle up and you always miss
a
break of the
dance
game
team, like,
something
out there. Like, I don't care about this.
Is that the best part of the game? The shit that's not the game?
Well, we were just
See, well, that's what I'm saying, that I love the, like, inter-player drama and stuff, you know? I think that the little storylines they have are, and then, yeah, I don't know, because you've been telling me about, you know, just beef, and it's like, oh, and this guy, and 2 years ago, this happened between them, and I was like, this is pretty much like professional wrestling, but it's,
oh, there was a game last night,
coordination
between the Bulls and the Wizards, where there's a player who used to play for Denver, Nene, he's now in Washington. I couldn't stand him when he was with Denver. He's just a chump, dude, and he gets into it with this guy from Chicago, and like bare hand, open hand slaps him across the face.
What?
Like had him locked in almost head to head like this, and then just smacked him across like the ear hole. Just
oh,
got ejected from the game. This is the playoffs too. It's like,
oh,
dude, what an idiot. Their starting center now is
what a mean
and he
guy
might get suspended for
what
a game.
A rude guy.
Yeah, he he's gonna probably gonna be in some trouble, but it's funny to watch when it happens. All right, so we have a couple people I think that are headed this way, but we're not waiting for them.
We're not waiting for them. In fact, it might be
about time.
About time.
Well, okay. So our guest today is Captain Jason, SpiceUpYourParty.com, and we're gonna have him plug all of the shit he does because he is a man about town.
He's dude's got hustle.
Guy's got hustle. So we're going to bring our guest up, and we're going to clap today, because we actually have a guest, and we're happy to have a guest with us.
Back to clapping.
Hey.
Captain Jason.
Captain
How
Jason.
How you guys doing?
Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me here.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for coming.
You brought quite a handful of stuff to the table.
I did bring some things. First and foremost, I want to let you guys know, a friendly thing here, I'm starting my own podcast. It's gonna be called Zombie Poop.
I'm thinking
maybe Zombie Poo Poo, but I think, you know, that's just too much, so I'm thinking just Zombie Poop.
I don't know about you, but what a stupid name for a podcast.
I don't think anybody's gonna listen to
that. I don't know why they would.
I don't
shooting for the I think I've got Walking Dead signed up as a sponsor.
Oh,
so
damn it. Now you see, that's the problem, is this guy has enough hustle.
He actually knows
how to go about getting a sponsor. Because this is this thing we keep talking about, and we're like, well, I mean,
yeah, how do you get a sponsor?
That'd be awesome.
Maybe if
we
just keep talking
someday
about random products, someone will happen to listen.
Coca-Cola, yeah. Bullet Bourbon. Not going to mention the cigarettes. They're evil.
Camel? They sponsor anything anymore?
But, you know, hustle is not always good.
Okay, I'll sell my soul out for Turkish Silvers, Camel Turkish Silvers. They are my poison stick of choice.
It's good hustle, man.
Was that a good, was that a good plug? Was
yeah,
that a
but,
good
but I'm telling
plug?
You, Will, your roommate Will and I went out the other night, and that fucker's got hustle.
He
does. And I wanted to start out this podcast, too, because I'm a man of my word.
Okay.
And I lost a bet,
okay,
so I brought the $1 million that I owe Will. And I just want to say that that man
is that cash
has of course it's cash. We don't want to pay taxes.
Yeah.
So that's and he's not here. So I'm going to leave that with you guys because I trust you.
Oh yeah.
I trust
we're
the ghost GP.
We're not going to mess with. I'm not going to mess with Will's money.
I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, like your people, those guys in Breaking Bad were afraid of Heisenberg. Like, I'm telling you, you don't mess with Will.
Yeah,
that man is insane. Like I thought,
he'll puke on you. If he,
the things Will has done to, like, that possess so much self-awareness and just like an utter lack of concern for the world around him. That guy's crazy.
He's like,
he has no line. Like, everybody has a line that's just like, okay, that's my limit. I won't take another dare. Will has no line.
Yeah.
Will has no line. That's the money. Yeah.
Can we ask, and if we can't, that's okay. Can we ask about the nature of this bet?
No, that's part of the bet. The details can't be disclosed. As
you see, I totally not gonna. I don't want.
I wouldn't want Will coming up.
I can't just fling around $1 million bills. I took 3 weeks of Admiral training, and it just wasn't working out. You know, yeah. And they're like,
is the Admiral higher than a captain?
Technically, it's not a title. I think it's more of a name. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how it works.
Well, I've been looking into the school called Duke, and I can't afford that either. And I don't think they'd take me. So
no, they definitely wouldn't take you, I don't think.
So I'm definitely not going to be a Duke.
Not after you started this podcast.
No.
They listened to one episode and didn't.
I'm flattered.
If they listened to two, then they might think about it again. Like, but by the third, it's like, no.
There's a weird
definitely.
Sort of warped genius in there, I think, is what people who've heard 2-3 podcasts are. And they're like, he's not. Total dead. Although sometimes he does drift off to sleep.
Alright, so I have to say, on air, I want to thank the captain for calling me last week and asking me to host a show. That was pretty cool. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you stepping up to the plate and doing it. I heard some good things. I heard that it was an interesting room.
We're more interested in the bad things that you heard.
I heard that it wasn't the best room. I mean, it's Patero, so it's generally always a decent room.
Yeah, it's usually one.
But I heard that you got it on a night that wasn't necessarily
which I was
prime.
More than happy for. Smaller crowd, mostly comedians.
I heard you rocked it. Is what I heard.
Yeah, it was fun.
Bob was there, a lot of fun. And Bob didn't take over or anything.
No,
that's
who I heard.
Just step in and put you in a sleeper hold and just be like, all right.
Yeah.
I'm hosting now.
Oh, Bob was super cool, and it was cool to have him there, just, like, in case I did, like, you know, shit
and you
the bed.
And Bob, like, ripped each other a little bit in a fun way.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah, because I said, I have the mic now, Bob.
I was like, wait, I think they're
that's right.
Friends. I saw friendship energy.
Well, then Monday night, it was the first time introducing me that he said, a good friend of mine, instead of,
this guy.
Yeah. This guy.
This next guy you're going
to
see here.
I may have to murder him if he doesn't end on time.
Well, I mean, because you kind of got a bad rap in the beginning there. Everyone's like, watch this guy. When he sees the light, he thinks it's time to start his set. but then, I mean, like, you got an idea of, like, how the system works. And you're like, okay, this is how this thing works. And you know, it allowed you to be to really start putting it out there because you're a funny guy.
Well, thanks, man. So how did you get started in comedy? That's, I think, the world is wanting to know. Everybody who's ever seen your show, seen any of the multiple shows you host, they're like, how the fuck did this guy? Because you were the first person I called when I wanted to try it out. I just called the number off of, what's that website?
970-614-JOKE.
There you go.
Joke.
And so I call and leave a message, and then I show up and Kevin Bennett is hosting. And I was like, where's the Jason guy?
The captain. Yeah, how come French accent doesn't possess any title?
Tell me knows the code.
You know the code.
I forgot it.
No. No, you know it.
You know the code.
Whiskey and weed?
The numerical code you push in the door, buddy.
All right, joining the podcast, we're back. Jacob Erdman.
Jacob
at
Erdman.
Beer and Banter. Beer and Banter
this
Hour
guy,
on Stitcher. You can look
guy.
Him up. He has
this
a Stitcher link.
He
has joined us with
some
Culver's. And he's now in our studio audience.
Although Culver's, that's a good pick for being on this.
Yeah, they're right next door.
How often do you see Culver's? I know times might be tight, Culver's, but if you wanted to throw a couple bucks in SP's way.
Yeah, we're always looking for sponsors. All right, so we were asking Jason how he got started, because that has to be the question that everybody is like.
Well, I think there's a lot of different answers to that.
How long have you been doing it?
About 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's copying Beer Banter, or it's pathetic.
5 years.
5 years, yeah. It, I started out, I did, hooked up on some guys with Craigslist.
You hooked up with some guys on Craigslist?
Yeah, and this guy, he was giving me an incredible awesome. Blowjob, and he was like, I was cracking some jokes. And you know, because that's what I like to do while I'm getting my rocks off. You
right,
know?
Absolutely.
So, as comedian, that's what
keep
know.
It loose.
Yeah. Hey, exactly. Loose. Well, that's what you do. When the sexual juices are flowing, so do tend to the creative juices to flow.
Right. No, I'm constantly jotting things down whenever I'm
like I'm masturbating right now.
Every 2 years, you know, it's like
you write some of your best material. I write my every best 3 years.
I'm like.
I actually
sorry, baby. So, no, we can keep going, but I'm going to be over here for a little while.
So you guys are familiar with, like, I have my notepad tattoo on my arm here, so I keep notes on. And I actually took this to the next step, and I have my lady friend. We have a giant notebook tattooed on the back on her back.
Uh-huh.
So during sex, like as notes are coming up, I'm just like, oh yes, this is genius.
It's legal and, size.
Yeah, wow. Exactly.
Yeah, that's great.
You gotta use you know, a permanent marker because otherwise you write in sweat and it's difficult.
Yeah. Or scratches right off or something.
Sometimes.
But that's great.
All right, so where'd you start? You started here in Fort Collins?
I did, actually Loveland. And Loveland really was my first.
Is that where you're from?
These guys, Sounds of the Rockies Entertainment. These guys doing a show, and they had some places around Loveland that they did an open mic and then closed it with a headliner. And, after I did that, about the fourth week I did that, they paid me to be the headliner. And I was like, hell yeah, $50 to do a 30-minute set? Okay, let's do this. And that's cool. Looking back at it, at the time, I was like, I just rocked that. You know how amazing that was? Yeah. And now, like, I go back and, like, I listen to the voice recordings from some of those times, some of those jokes, I'm like, that was funny.
Right?
Like, I considered that an A-list joke.
Yeah.
But so you started, though, and it was basically, I think it's the thing that most of us have, where it's like, hey, I'm pretty damn good at this. Yeah. You know, after, like, a couple times, you're like, yeah. And then, of course, you get humbled later, or you see.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or you start to take note of all the other stuff going around you, and you're like, oh, I need to work.
Right.
Now I'm going to work harder, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think Jack Martin pointed out great on this, on your guys' podcast last time he was on here, is that the comedians, I think, have this constant conscious awareness of our internal monologue. Like, every thought that we have, it's not just a lizard brain thing. Like, we see it. Like, I mean, every time, like, if I think of a joke, I think of it how I would say it on stage. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's coming out of my mind how I would put it out there. And I think it's just been that way all my life. I haven't thought about it like I would do it on stage all my life.
But it's that worldview thing where you just kind of, like, tilt it, and it's like,
because
all the time, it's like I see myself in frustrating moments or something, and I'm like, if I take two steps back, this is actually pretty damn funny.
Is that Jason there?
Hello?
You know the code. You know the code.
You know the code.
No, I don't.
The guy on the couch is back. Jason James. Our invisible guests last
Hey,
last
how
week.
Long were you on that boat, anyhow?
Which boat? Oh.
Your boat in the film.
I think it was 40 days and 40
40
nights.
Days and 40 nights.
Is that
how it works? No, it has to be longer than that. That's just how long it
It feels rains. Like, to me, it'd be like, you know, 40...
Hey,
40
we're not... We said we weren't going to do religion on the podcast.
I'm sorry. I won't bring up my religious views.
About Noah.
About
the movie Noah.
He was an alien.
They're all in every culture's civilization's legend.
Yeah, but he had different names. It would be weird if there was one guy, Paul Bunyan, spanned all of culture for all of
right.
time.
In that
and be like, I kind of believe in Paul Bunyan, you guys. like, here he is building the pyramids.
Here he is building the Great Wall of China.
Pushing those heads around. Yeah, it's like...
Look at him juggle those giant Easter Island heads.
I can say with confidence that Paul Bunyan is real.
What year around was he... alive? What time period?
Well, since he built up the earth with his bare hands, probably from...
Is that 5,000 years ago? Or
swimming in space at that point in time. And then he compacted it, and then he came down and he did a lot of great stunts.
I see.
And the guy, the original stuntman, the creator.
Does anybody else just like picture Nick getting up to use the bathroom in the middle of his night, the night, and stubbing his toe, and just like, ah, Paul, damn it! Or when someone sneezes, he's like, Paul, bless you.
Yeah. No, I go, I understand why you did that, Paul.
You have a better control of your temper than I do.
It sounds cultish. No, I have a terrible temper. Paul tells me to do things all the time.
Don't listen to Paul.
I don't. Most of the time.
Hashtag dogs hate baths.
Hashtag dogs hate baths.
Yeah. All right, so when did you start your first show?
That was
did you run like
yeah, run like that. The first show that was at what's now the Boise Tavern.
Okay.
Then it used to be One Eyed Jacks back in the day.
One Eyed Jacks. That's a much better name than the Boise Tavern,
right? It was still the same dive bar, still same clientele.
This was in Loveland.
Yeah, but then the Cork, because like I did that for about 6 months, and then that show fell apart, and then it was about 3 years, a couple years, maybe it was about 3 years, actually, that there just wasn't anything going on here. I couldn't make it to Denver.
Right.
You know, it's just a bitch, and it was just, so I just wrote, because I had gotten on stage at that time, and then I really was picturing things, how they would be a joke.
Wow.
So I just started writing, and I would record. I used a voice recorder all the time, just carry it with me anytime I'm driving.
And just
come up with stuff, and I would just
throw them in,
and then one day I would found a thing on Craigslist for Dickie Bill Wagner. I was doing a show at the Duke of Windsor, and I hit him up and was like, hey, I'd love to come out and do a show. And I went out there, and it was me and Dickie Bill and I think one or two other guys. The guy that went before me was this Mormon guy that was just, I mean, half of his set was about Orchata, something like this caffeine-free chocolate drink that, you know,
great.
And then
Orchata.
Like,
I love
he,
it.
Yeah, he would say something, yeah. You know, like he would say, my friend said you know, a swear word, and then he'd step to the side, like, looking to not get, you know, struck by lightning and whatnot, and I got to go up after him, and the first thing I did is I went up and I said, God damn! And looked up in the air. I was like, okay, we can move on. And then I did, like, an 18-minute, just as I had so much, and I was just like, I'm going to do all of this. And
yeah.
You know, of course, I had my set list that I was reading, you know, getting the notes off of, and just like, here, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And it was just from there, hooked on it. And then that's, Dickie Bill had started the Cork at that time. And that's where a lot of Cork Collins comics started, was at the Cork. And that was the real, like, here, hitting it every week, going to it, trying to write new minutes a week, challenges and stuff like that. And hooked up with Dickie Bill doing, like, running the open mic for a little bit, and then we putting showcases on over there, and just learning how to do it, making it up, and, like, putting showcases. I mean, we screwed it up so bad in the beginning, man. And we got a showcase with, like, you know, you're doing an open mic on Wednesday night at a place, and then at the same place you're charging for a showcase that has 10 of the guys who frequent your open mic,
right,
plus like one headliner from out of town who's like an actual, like,
thing.
Sometimes an actual guy, sometimes just somebody out of town that just seems fresh. And it's crazy.
So flash forward 5 years. Describe your comedy situation now.
Now
this would be a good time to do some mic plugging, you know, and
so now we do a lot.
Sprinkle through and so tell us about your veritable comedy empire.
It is,
Captain.
Well, you know,
it's spice up your party empire.
You know, it's more of, you know, I'm a long hair hippie guy. I'm not so much trying to build an empire. I don't want
the
thing. I'm trying to make things work. You got it. You can't expect to sit around and things be handed to you.
Right.
It's not going to happen. I mean, you know, people thank me.
That's Nick's favorite
often.
Phrase for you. Guys got hustle. He says it pretty much whenever you're going, guys got hustle.
You say, I love you guys, or I like you guys. And I say, when talking about you, that guy's got hustle.
You guys got hustle.
I appreciate that. I mean, it's a lot of work.
It is
a lot of work.
You put in so much time into the comedy scene. You're like a current, you know, cornerstone.
I don't think I really realized how much work you put into a show till Jalazi, because whenever I'd show up, like, there still wouldn't be hardly anybody there, but you'd still, we'd be like hanging these fucking lights from the rafters, carrying ladders around soundtrack. I'm like, what the fuck? Do you do this every week? And he's like, yeah. And then
had a few plays.
Three times a week for open mics.
Yeah, then I showed up at Yum Yum's and he's doing it there. I was like, Jesus, he puts up all this shit every time.
And but and it makes it that like professional package show. Yeah,
thank you.
To like what, because you look at how much Jalazzi's has grown, how much Patero's has grown, like how much Yum Yum's is like. It's like they all start out as those little seeds, and there's like a consistent quality of product, and that's. You clearly put that time in, and it clearly like fosters, growth.
It really does, but it takes a lot more. I mean, like I the way I kind of look at it, is I need to be there. It's kind of the seed that I'm planting to make it happen. But I mean, there needs so much more support because if you're trying to put it on at a venue that isn't all about it, you're wasting your time.
Right.
Because if they're like the Cork, that was the problem with that place. I mean, one thing was it was way out of town. Like it was all the way out on Drake, and so it was not kind of out of town, but it also, like, the owner didn't care. He's like, if you make me money, then awesome. If you don't make me money, then I'm gonna start not liking you. And if they're not all about it, it's not going to work. Like, when I started at Yum Yum's, they weren't sure. I was like, let me show you what I can do, and then we'll look at it in a couple months, and let me show you, give you an idea. And
Was it a contest from the beginning?
It wasn't. It wasn't. That actually happened. The Yum Yum's got sold. It's been under the same ownership for 25 years. And then while I was running the show there, it got sold to the new owners, Travis and Cindy Stetsman, and they're awesome people. And it's so funny, though, because like I didn't really get introduced to them like as like this transition was happening.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I'm used to dealing with this Middle Eastern family and whatnot. And then one day I got introduced to Cindy, but wasn't introduced as like, here, they're going to be the new owners.
Right.
It was just like, here, this is Cindy. And I was like, hey, how's it going? And they're like, I want to keep things going and we're going to build up comedy and get it on the website and do this and that. And it's like, awesome, awesome. And so I thought she was like a new PR person or something. And then one day I set up the show and then I'm sitting there just having a drink at the bar. And this guy with this giant beard comes up and sits down and goes, I love your comedy. I love what you got going on here. But if we're going to make this thing work, we got to get asses in the seats. So
like,
here's
what
I'm thinking. And he's just laying down this plan. Like, he's like, we got to da 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 da. And I'm like, yeah, I'm on board with all of that. I mean, I need to get people in here. I'm with you. So one question. Who are you?
And he goes, hell are you,
I'm Travis. I'm the new owner. I'm like, oh, well, shit. Then I am definitely on board with all of that.
100% on board.
That's
whatever
the rapper. You're like, is some drunk guy at a bar giving me, like, an awesome motivational speech? That's cool.
Trying to pump him up at the bar.
It was just, because it was like, he's got this big beard. I mean, he's this cool-looking guy. This kind of guy that, you can see myself just hanging out with and whatnot. But just comes over, without even, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yes. And then we got to talking and came up with the contest idea and then had to figure out how to make like a weekly show into a monthly contest.
Right.
And try and make that fair and whatnot, which has worked out pretty well.
Yeah. No, and those butts did show up in those seats.
They do now a lot. Like this Wednesday. So the show is every Wednesday at Yum Yum's / Ma's Juice Bar. Every Wednesday, it starts at 9 o'clock. What's that?
Can you clear up the name for us?
So it started out, the restaurant half there is what it originally started out as 25 years ago. About 15 years ago, they expanded and added the bar part of it and called that Ma's Juice Bar. They didn't want to call the bar Yum Yum's because, that's just too restaurant-y.
Right.
But they also didn't want to lose the history that they had of being Yum Yum's.
Okay.
Because you come back into town, you're like, I went to college here. Oh, look, Yum Yum's. That's where we always ate. And
Yum Yum's is great food.
It's fantastic. The Euros, the chicken shawarmas, the baba ganoush.
All of it.
Nothing is bad there.
No. Let's just plug the food for it. Let's just take a nice moment of silence to plug that food.
That would be awesome.
Wow. All right. The comedy, though, too.
So it's...
So how long has that been happening? And how long...
July will be a year.
Wow. Cool. Congratulations.
No, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And then, it's been going sweet. Like, this week is the finals.
Yeah, so we had an extra week this week to get some people in.
We did. We have five. So we have 13 people in the contest for the finals this week, or this month, because I screwed it up. And didn't realize after the first week, I realized, oh wait, there's five Wednesdays
here. I didn't realize till last week.
So I did four people the first one, and then three people the consecutives, and now we've got 13. Do shout out real quick. You want to come see these people, Nate Brown, Patrick Richardson. I mean, these guys are funny guys. Like, I love Nate Brown's comedy. Patrick Richardson, guy from Greeley, Nick Moon. You're talking about he randomly shows up and he just, I don't know, I'm going to do a set. Yeah, all right, I'll do a set. And then he just rocks it. This guy, Anthony Henningsen, this kid, he's a high school kid. He turned 18 like the day he got into the finals. Like, he's the second time on stage, just got that natural.
He's been at Hodie's? Is
it the kid? He went to Hodie's once before. No, this last Monday he was at Hodie's. I don't know if it was with Kat or not. Sam Brindehoff, Hoft. Whatever the hell. Sammy B.
You know.
His name is Sammy B. from now on. I'm redubbing him. I'm hoping that that's not offensive and that it
doesn't
sticks.
Sound very German, though, I think.
No,
I think
it really will kill a lot of his German material. Bob Gaudette.
It might give him a new bit, though.
Right?
Bob
Gaudette's on the finals. Dan Jones.
Future of the podcast.
Man. Yeah, he is. So get this. So Dan Jones, the night he was getting in the contest, I heard him. He was over there by the fish tanks at Yum Yum's, and he was talking to his lady friend and somebody else that he brought with him, and he was kind of talking to me, and he goes, man, I want to get on the finals this week because I don't want to drive back up here next week.
Yeah.
And then so at the end of the show, I got up and I was listening to the people in the finals, and I'm like, and for anybody who really wanted to get on the finals this week because you didn't want to drive up here next week, I'm really sorry. I checked it twice. I'm sorry. And he gets up and starts storming off toward the back. I list the other two people, and then I list him, and he goes, and screen comes back and flips over a chair anyway.
Oh, Dan Jones. Like, yeah, Dan Jones.
Then we got Richard Kennedy. Bus driver from Wyoming. That he's guy. A new guy. I like his style.
And he makes that drive, man.
He does.
You can tell he's just committed, and he's developed like maybe one of the coolest characters. Just and to have seen it over the past couple months, like really foster as a character.
Because I'm not a big fan of like the self-deprecating humor,
right?
But like him and Miles Harmony are two guys that I'd point out as doing it really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, it doesn't bother me the way that they do it. They own it. They it doesn't make me feel like, wow, this guy's just going up there making fun of himself, so we'll all laugh with him,
right?
Because he wants to be part of the thing. It's like this guy's going up there and being this character.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm not worried this guy's going to go home and off himself. Right.
Most weeks.
But
I'm not worried.
Well,
who'd
get those kids to school? Yeah. Come on.
He knows. He knows he has a responsibility.
He knows. He's got responsibilities. He'd call in. He'd schedule a couple sick days or something, at least, so that his run was covered. Because that's the thoughtful kind of guy he is. Because he's a really nice guy. Right? How creepy his character. That's the amazing thing, too, is you meet him and you're like, oh, you're such a nice, cool, normal guy. And then his character is...
Hulk smash!
Yeah, Jenny, you should tell your dad.
Yes. And then we got French accent.
The classic.
The classic.
Titleless
the
French accent.
Yeah.
We got a rag on him about that.
It's interesting with him now because we have the outside speakers, so you can hear the sound through the mic, but you can't necessarily hear the accordion. So if you're a little bit away from the restaurant during his set, it just sounds like a drunken Frenchman just yelling.
Just shouting things.
Just,
I don't want to be tonight!
Yes.
Does he want us to say French accent?
Is that how he says it?
Or do you it's French accent? What the fuck ever? Just
I don't know. I like to call him French accent.
See? That makes a good host
right there. And then Josh Disney.
Disney. If he brings his guitar, it's over. I always tell him that.
Well, and the last time that I talked to him, because he won, we're doing this at July, we're doing 2014 as its own contest, and then all of the winners of each month, we're going to do a giant contest in December. And so that's going to be pretty sweet. But Josh won in 2013 with the guitar.
And he did.
He did.
I didn't realize
that. At one point, I think
won
November. November or December of 2013, he took it with the guitar, and he killed it. And he's transitioning over to that, but he said he wants to win mostly with, he wants to do the comedy.
Stand-up,
he wants to.
Yeah. Well, his music is fucking hilarious.
His music is so funny.
Oh my god!
But he's a really funny stand-up.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, he got up at Jalazi. Well, do we call it Jalazi or do we call it Crooked?
Well, it's a
Crooked Cocktail.
It's the Crooked Cocktail is what it's going to be. That mic's going away for a while. Going to come back as a showcase.
He told a story about interacting with Westboro Baptist one time. Disney did. He's just like. I just want to. He didn't prepare it. He didn't come in doing it.
I encourage you to ask him if you know Josh Disney. Find him and ask him about his interaction with the Westboro Baptist Church.
He has to act it out. He has to act it out.
Tom Bullock is going to be on the finals. T.
Good old T. I see him around all the time, and he doesn't see me. I'll be like driving in a car. I'll be walking, and we'll just like miss each other. Or I'll be across the street. I'll be like, oh, over there, that's T.
He's a fellow hat wearer. Yeah. When I know he's coming, I try and switch to the pork pie.
Okay.
So.
Good. Yeah. Is there any weird hat vibes between you guys?
You know, not on my end, because I just wear a hat.
Are we starting the first hat feud?
I bet hat feuds have existed before.
Hat feuds have definitely existed.
Think about how important a hat is.
I think more people need to wear hats, I think. Like, it's a statement.
I would definitely wear hats if it was more acceptable.
I wear backwards baseball caps some of the time.
Do you really?
Yeah, some of the time. And I enjoy it.
To work?
Not to work.
No. Actually, I don't want to spoil it, but in this year, look for the new hat as part of the new comedic uniform this year. The whole comedic uniform is evolving.
You're re-imaging a little bit?
A little bit, not too much.
Oh my gosh,
not too much.
I am psyched to see you.
It's a...
Because you know that I'm a guy who appreciates a good appearance change.
You do. I've seen you suddenly show up completely different.
But I appreciate, though, the continuity of your look, but I'm excited for evolution. to just see what... Wow. Do you want to, like, tease anything at us?
Yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. But
I'm very curious.
Our final finalist... Is our co-host here, Weston Unruh.
Oh yeah, he's pretty okay, isn't he?
He's one of those guys.
I think my wife. No, I didn't have anybody there that night.
Well, you know, the thing is, the way that the score sheets are set up, like you really, unless you bring like an insane amount of people,
right.
Like I try and spread out the score sheets. I bring 15 score sheets, and they have to be scored for everybody.
Everybody. Right.
If you miss one person. The entire sheets, I just toss it out because it's just not fair. You know, you missed one guy or you showed up late. Like, I hate if people get burnt sometimes. They're like, oh, here's my scorecard. I'm like, you showed up late and didn't score half the first half of the people. How is that fair?
Yeah.
The first guy went and took the bullet for going first.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, and speaking of that, the first guy you mentioned on the list, Nate Brown, just... His movie review thing
definitely slays me.
And I like the poster of Alf, and I keep waiting to see. It's almost like that's like there's some dramatic tension there, with you know, I mean that an alien who eats cats is what makes him more comfortable. Had a thing about that.
Yeah, he brings a poster of Alf.
Was that all just a metaphor for cunnilinguists? Like was that wasn't that really all just a metaphor for like
an alien
like racist like a biased racist unfounded fear about immigrants coming across the border and committing cunnilinguists on our women like on the women of the Republicans? I think that's what Alf was really about.
And you thought, did somebody teach you this as a child?
No, it just hit me when he said aliens eating cats. I'm like, that's what that meant.
Wow.
I have a feeling that's going to get worked into a joke.
I should write that down.
You should jot that down.
Smurfs are communists.
Smurfs are communists.
Jason James from the couch.
Jason James.
I like it. So can I plug a couple other shows?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm going to ask you other questions about other shows. Cause I'm...
Yeah, we've got all kinds of stuff going. So then, in December, look for that big contest. And then Friday night's Potero's Creek. That's the hot open mic.
Did you and Kevin go to them? And
Yeah, Kevin and I just went out one day and we're like, we need a Friday open mic.
To try a few different
Let's
places,
go hit it up. Yeah, we went searching and then that place... was the last one we were about to get in the car and I said, you know what, let's go over there. And we walked over there and because we were parked on Linden Street right there, so we walked through the alley kind of way right there and went over and talked to them and they were like, you know, we've actually really been looking for something for Friday night. Comedy sounds awesome.
Cool.
And they were on board 100%, and we worked out the deal with them and started out that one as you know, open mic with the headliner at the end. That one's coming up on a year here pretty soon too.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I love that room.
That one, I wanted to say that's because that was before Yum Yum started. So that's coming up here real soon.
Yeah, I remember early last summer. Maybe?
Yeah,
because
probably June.
You need to do a 1 year show.
Probably June. To look for that.
Look for the 1 year show.
Look for that. Look for at spiceuppyparty.com for all of these all your shows.
Are you out?
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
Great show.
Take it easy, Jacob.
Yep. See you, Jacob.
Friend of the show, Jacob Urban.
That was nice.
Feuder of the show. Yeah.
Friend Feuder.
Yeah. That was nice. So yeah, but then we got some like actual shows too, like some showcases that.
Oh yeah.
Like yeah. Next one coming up, like at Moz Juice Bar Yum Yums every the first Saturday. We do a showcase where we bring in the nationals, and then the winner and the runner-up of the contest go perform a set. Fun time, 9 o'clock.
Who's on this next one?
Mario Ciaz is the headliner.
Oh, cool.
And Johnny Trujillo. A couple guys from Texas.
Oh, cool. How'd you know them?
The touring guys. Just met them through booking some other shows. And, yeah, it'll be a good show. It'll be a good show. They're in town, so... It's going to be lots of fun. Then the other show I'm really excited about in Longmont. Longmont, May 9th at the Speakeasy.
My hometown.
Have to bring you down. Shout out. And this is your kind of show too, Nick. Like this is it's called Vaudeville 3000. And it's a mix of sketch comedy, stand-up comedy, burlesque dancing, yoga dancing, which is
I'm down.
If you haven't seen this, it's phenomenal. It's going to be the next big thing.
Yoga dancing, just
Vaudeville 3000 at the Speakeasy is where it's breaking out. That's like what you're going to hear
it's
about.
A Friday?
In like it's a Friday night.
What time?
Two shows actually. 7 o'clock early show, 10 o'clock late
How
show.
How often do you do that one?
That's like a bi-monthly show. Our next one after that's going to be in July, and
what do you got
it's,
here?
It's going to be a fantastic time. That one's sponsored by Bourbon Whiskey.
Jason James has wandered over to the
by
table.
Jason James. It's actually sponsored by That's Jason James. He pays us.
Jason James is Shooters.
What kind of pen is that? Is that a vape?
It is. I'll reload it. I've just been sitting here holding it because it makes me feel better.
Comfortable? Is it like your binky?
It kind of is. Because like they say in the Monkey Wrench game, marijuana is the pacifier for the youth.
Just dropping knowledge.
And you can't even hang with them. Just to show off on your knowledge all the time.
No.
I don't know if you heard him and Ryan.
You watch Nick's Facebook, and that's just a show off of knowledge.
No, yeah, actually, my Facebook is pretty show off.
I rather enjoy your Facebook.
I'm a pretty intelligent guy.
Except for when I exposed to Weston, and he knew that I was just going to be running late and probably a little out of it because, you know, these phones, you can just do anything and instantly put them up on, and so it, like I met Weston and Beth out, and we
had
a couple whiskey drinks, and it was, and I had had rehearsal till 10, and so it was like my first drink of the night was like at 11 p.m. a little after 11. I had three whiskey drinks, and then it like turned on, and I got home and there were four Red Stripe in the fridge, and I was like, well, you know, I'll have one of these, and that'll just be a nice little nightcap. And then after that first one, the other ones appeared as challenges to me. I was like, yeah? No, don't worry. I'm getting to you.
And Red Stripe is just beer, you pussy!
And so, yeah, that Jamaican guy was screaming. I was listening to reggae, you know.
My mom is just like, drink the beer or you're the pussy, Nick. Oh!
It was
a horrible Bob Marley impression.
Hey, no, but it was good reggae. It was more like Raffy. You guys know Raffy?
Like the kid, children's banana,
the banana song.
Banana phone.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate you. I hate you for bringing that in. I have gone to therapy for years. The reason I started, you want to know why I started stand-up comedy?
Yes.
Because I got Raffy stuck in my head, and I needed therapeutic treatment to get it out of my head, and I couldn't afford therapy, so like we all do, I started getting on stage and forcing strangers to be my therapist.
Yeah. So if anything, I mean, I just gave you some juice to be like back in the game, almost God in like a more organic way.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Because now instead of jokes in my head, I've got banana phone. Banana phone.
Well, I wasn't evoking banana phone specifically. I was saying it was like the Raffy version of Bob Marley. Raffy radio.
It gets really quiet.
May 9th at the Speakeasy, you should check it out. I'm going to have to bring you down there, too. We'll bring you down in July, maybe, when you're not doing a play.
Is there people? The Logmonters?
It's a good one.
Is it the type of show where he could do a Mystagog Holland sketch?
You know it is. It is, actually. That could be interesting.
An episode in Longmont, in your stomping grounds.
Well,
no, my former stomping grounds. A lot, I mean, because there is somewhat of, in a lot of cases, a flight of the... I still have several friends who live in Longmont, but I mean, you know, a lot of people have gravitated out, wound up in, you know, Greeley, Fort Collins, Boulder. But my mother could come see it. I'd love to enjoy some burlesque dancing with my mom.
Yeah, and some yoga dancing.
But I'd be down to do a show in Longmont, because I'd be like, you made this. I am your creation.
Like, Longmont's Bane or something.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm doing a lot
ooh,
more
you know,
voices.
That could, you could have a title, like Nick Holland, the Bane of Longmont.
Well, I have a title. Mystagog Holland.
Yeah, you do,
my
see?
Title, it's
who's all on the May 9th show?
May 9th, so Josh Disney is one of the stand-up performers. Derek Rush is one of the headline performers. And Josh Gilman. Then
good
we're going to have...
Gilman.
Burlesque dancing by Lucy Bridges, and we're going to have the yoga dancing by Sammy.
Sammy?
Yeah, yeah. It's you got to have the stage names. It's all
right.
You know
right,
what I mean? And
yeah.
then
he's
in,
a hot
in,
dude.
In,
I think
you have
that's
no idea.
I, that's what I instantly went to. Is I was like
Sammy with an I.
Oh,
definite hot dude.
Futurist.
Definite hot dude from the future. So hot that he yoga dances through time, right?
It's possibly brought out onto the stage by slaves. Like it's gonna be epic. Miles Harmony, Kirsten Eckers is doing one of the sets.
Oh,
Cody Spiker, she's a Boulder chick.
I think
I saw her
at Johnny's one.
I did a set with her at the bus stop with her and Hippie Man and Tobias, a couple
cool
other people. It was a good set.
The bus stop's an actual club.
An actual strip club.
It's a strip club, yeah.
Hey, it's very fun to perform at a strip
people
club.
People who aren't from Colorado should understand that the bus stop is a strip club.
Well, and see, so it's awesome, because like when I did that show, like every time that a stripper comes on stage, the first thing she does is grab the towel and wipe down both poles to remove the sweat from the previous stripper so that she can dance on the poles and not feel gross.
You gotta get
so when I
here
walked out there, I had Marcus keep the intro music going, and I grabbed the towel, and I wiped down both of the poles before I did my set.
That's funny.
And then I laid down dollar bills out there, like reverse tips, like, hey, if you come sit in the front row, I'll give you a dollar. And it worked. And I got some people to come sit up front. And, you know,
wow, that's funny.
And then I think they were kind, though, and just left the money for the strippers because they felt weird, like they
taking
were taking food out of the mouth of it, like
money,
a baby stripper.
Taking a comedian's money.
No, they've been trained to never themselves take money off the stage. That's when the taser comes out.
So we'd be jumping out. You didn't show your titties! Ah!
So he's like, I was expecting a lot more pole dancing and a lot less comedy.
What the hell are these jackasses doing between the
she
girls?
She like wipes down the stage a lot more vigorously, like just get rid of all of the comic. Brings a push broom, just gotta get all the comedy off here. Some of us are trying to strip.
Yeah, exactly.
Good lord.
Goddamn comedians.
Alright, so what else do you got to plug?
Yeah, I think that's the main thing. SpiceUpYourParty.com. That's, you know, check it out. Things are always changing, things are always coming up. And I'll throw it out there, too, though, this Sunday, because keep live entertainment, support it. This Sunday, Mike Hawkburns has the Vaudeville Show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At, what is that, Crazy Carl's,
this
right?
Is tomorrow night.
Tomorrow yeah night. And then every Monday, you got Hody's, 7 o'clock open mic, and East Coast 10:30 Showcase. Like, check it out. These are local Fort Collins shit going on. Like, that gum.
Super talent.
Yeah, there's the amount of talent in this town just blows me away. And I mean... That's why I do what I do.
So I want to ask you about your notepad tattoo.
How often do you use that?
Every day.
Every day?
Every day. Every day? For everything from, like,
what kind of pen milk. Because it has to wash off pretty
easy. Oh, yeah, it washes off pretty easy. Any kind of pen. A gel pen works the best, but any pen at all works just fine.
When did you get that?
This has been about 2.5 years. Well, it was July. About 3 years ago.
No.
That's the whole point of it, is that the paper stays permanently. And,
Oh, yeah, we might be photographing.
You're welcome to be in the photograph.
If you want.
So.
Zombie poop.
Yeah.
Zombie poop.
Zombie
the inaugural episode.
Hashtag zombie poop.
That happens.
This guy just hustled his out from underneath us.
That's
why Erdman left, because he knew. He was like, it's done now. Yeah. It's done. Like, the war. Captain Jason ended the podcast war.
So,
that was.